Any rebroadcast, reproduction, or other use of this show without the express written consent of the Financial Guys LLC is strictly prohibited.
Securities offered through Peak Brokerage Services, member FINRA SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Independent Solutions Wealth Management or Blackridge Asset Management. Financial Guys, Independent Solutions, and Blackridge Asset Management are not an affiliate of Peak Brokerage Services, Inc.
That's what I care about. Can he do his job?
Yep.
What prepared him of being mayor of South Bend, Indiana, to manage the air, lands, the entire infrastructure of the United States of America? That's what I care about.
And that's what we should care about. As Americans, we should want the best of the best. Alrighty, welcome back, Financial Guys Media Network. Morning, Mike's here, Stefan Mihailu, and myself, Mike Sparazza. Happy Monday.
It is a beautiful Monday. Anytime we get to sit here and talk conservative politics, Republican politics, we're breathing, the sun is not shining, but you know what? It's always a happy Monday if that's the case.
Well, snow here in Buffalo, we love that in March. That's our thing here.
What's the saying? There's two seasons in Western New York, winter and July.
Winter and July, that's it. And Stefan, in all seriousness with news today, I feel like this week is going to be pretty big in terms of news. We're going to talk about the banks in a little bit. We're going to talk about the Biden administration a little bit. You know, we have Mexico declaring, essentially not declaring war, but saying that the drug problem in America is the United States' problem and it's their fault. Not the drugs coming in through Mexico, but it's America's fault. A lot going on right now. And you know, this could be a big week for the stock market, for banks.
And I want to start politically here in New York State from the New York Post. Carl Campanile, great reporter. He's like the gold standard of political and government reporting. So the Working Families Party, ultra-liberal, they're the party of defund the police, all these woke agenda, AOC, all of these radical socialists are always endorsed by the Working Families Party. They are coming up with some incredible ballot shenanigans to trick voters into voting Democrat. So they are this, again, left-wing extremist, you know, again, endorsing AOC, endorsing all of these socialists. They are going to try and create the new moderate party in New York State and put it on the ballot to basically fool voters so that all of these, you know, pro-choice, pro-partial birth abortion, ban guns, if they're afraid to run on the Working Families Party, they're going to create this bogus moderate party so that they can basically hide and disguise who they are and try and get Democrats over the finish line. I couldn't believe it when I read this in the Post.
It's not shocking, right? It's not. And you know, let me start with this. Anybody who backs AOC needs to get their head examined, because these types of people, Stefan, are truly, I mean, again, I'm going to go back to what I said Friday, going to the event to see Michael Knowles at UB. These people that are voting for the AOC types and the socialist party, they are not thinking logically. And I'm not saying that because I disagree with them. I'm saying that because it's the truth. You have to think about your country and the long-term effects of what these policies are. We're going to talk about the banks in a little bit, Stefan, with the bailing out of the bank. Everybody's saying it's not a taxpayer-funded thing. Listen, we're trillions of dollars in debt. Everything's a taxpayer something.
Yeah, and this so that's a good transition into, you know, SVB, Silicon Valley Bank. I firmly believe that the tech sector, media, government, we're basically manufacturing a bank run for this morning, for this Monday morning, pressuring the Biden administration for a bailout. Now, this is a typical, I mean, left coast, left wing, woke bank. Think of it this way. For 9 months, Silicon Valley Bank, they had no one in charge of risk assessment for 9 months. 9 months.
Yeah.
They had no one in charge of their risk assessment. But you know what their priorities were? In the months before it collapsed, they were busy organizing a month-long pride campaign and a lesbian visibility day. That's what this bank's priority was. And I say let the free market reign. A lot of the depositors, you know, FDIC insures up to what, $250,000?
Yep. Yep.
So you know what? You know your risk. You shouldn't put all of your eggs in one basket. I mean, it's risk 101. If you have more than $250,000 to deposit and manage, wouldn't it make sense to spread that amongst other banks, and especially more reputable banks or bigger banks, so that you're not losing all of your cash.
But here's what I'll say: what's scary? I believe this is like the second largest bank. I thought I heard that second largest bank. But think about that for a second. What does that say about the state of American banking? Right, where we don't have risk assessment people looking at a bank that's the second largest bank. I think in the country it was.
For 9 months,
right? I mean, this is the type of stuff we're doing. And then again, focusing on equity, because that's, of course, number one. This is the stuff that our country, we are breaking ourselves down from within. It's no longer, you know, people are saying, and I agree, China is a threat. Maybe Russia's a threat. The Mexican cartels are a threat. But the number one threat to our country right now, and I truly believe this, Stefan, is ourselves. It's our own leadership.
But look at this bank again. I'll go back to SVB. I mean, they're having Trans Awareness Week, Lesbian Visibility Day, and their head of financial risk management, they finally did hire someone bragging about a minority queer of color, launching all of their employee resource groups. That is their priority, not the shareholder and making money and protecting anyone who invests with their bank or puts their money with their bank. Their number one priority is not shareholders, but it was this woke left-wing agenda. And the Biden administration is saying, well, wait a minute, there's a special insurance fund funded by Wall Street. It's not a taxpayer bailout that we're making sure that those who invested get their money. Baloney. Where does that money come from? Where does the money for this? Oh, it comes from banks. It comes from Wall Street. But guess who they're charging? Guess who they're getting their money from? Customers. Taxpayers.
And again, I'm going to go back to, we are trillions of dollars in debt, folks. I don't want to hear the government's got money to bail it out, because they're how many trillion dollars in debt are we right now?
Oh, it's insane. It's going to go up to like $53 trillion with the Biden budget.
So they're in $53 trillion of debt, and you don't think the money's coming from us? Again, I don't care if it's $10 or if it's $10 billion. We are getting stuck with all of these bills. The climate agenda, Stefan, we're getting stuck with that. The taxes in these states like New York, we're getting stuck with that, obviously. The, you know, increase in inflation with gas price eggs, we are getting stuck with all of that. The people of America are getting stuck with that. And again, just check your bank accounts. I guess that's the easiest way. Check your tax statements. Check your bank accounts. That will show you who's paying for what in this country.
Well, and the president of SVB Capital, his name is John China. Guess who he sits on the board of the California Partners Project?
I saw this.
Yes, it's led by Gavin Newsom's wife.
Yeah, how does that work?
Surprise, surprise. But America didn't learn their lesson from 2008. You know, what did the government do when it comes to the housing bubble that burst in 2008? The government forced banks to give loans, housing loans, so people could buy homes, and they could not afford it. They basically force banks to give money to people who could not afford mortgages. We're talking people with either no jobs, no lines of credit, bad credit, and they're taking out mortgages, and we're given mortgages, hundreds of thousands of dollars. Lo and behold, guess what happens? These folks can't pay it back. A ton of people could not pay it back, and it caused the market collapse in the housing bubble of 2008. Lo and behold, look at what happens again. The government is giving credit to these banks and these financial institutions for being woke, for being environmentally conscious, socially conscious. We didn't learn our lesson from 2008, and it's happening all over again.
And again, it's not shocking, because in terms of the everybody gets a trophy world, now everybody can get a mortgage and everybody can do this and everybody can do that. We have to go back to what made this country great, Stefan, and I truly believe this. Hardworking people that want to make it and want to have a successful life. And again, that doesn't mean money necessarily, but that's what we need to go back to. Instead, you know, we're in this world, Stefan, where it's like, you know what, if you don't want to do anything, who cares? If you want to be poor, we'll pay for you. If you want to do drugs, there's a safe shooting heroin zone down the street. We have to go back and get out of this world we're living in and go back to what our principles were, which was working our asses off.
Well, in Silicon Valley Bank, two things. They were bragging about investing $5 billion into ESG, environmental and societal, social, all these different initiatives. $5 billion, they were bragging about it, where House Oversight Chairman James Comer said they were one of the most woke banks in America. So clearly their focus was not on shareholders. Their focus was not on taxpayers, not on making a profit, but being on this woke bank and in this woke culture. And you know what? Shame on them. What I found interesting, though, is that Bernie Sanders and other Democrats, it didn't take them like 30 minutes to start blaming Donald Trump for the bank's collapse.
Yeah.
They're saying, oh, it's deregulation. That's the reason why.
Same excuse they used, by the way, for the train derailment in East Palestine. It was because of Trump's deregulation. Everything. I mean, that's how the lunacy of the left right now. They can't. Stefan, it's been how many years? 2.5 since Trump was in office? Almost 2.5? They can't stop talking about him.
Or blaming him for everything.
They don't understand. Every time I said this years ago, too, when they, you know, even during the election of 2020, the longer they talk about Donald Trump, the more relevant he's going to be. They haven't figured that out yet. The more they talk about him, the more relevant and the more power his base gets. They just keep doing it. They can't help themselves. And again, blaming him is not doing your voters even well either, because everybody's starting to be like, wait a minute. It's not. How could this possibly be his fault?
Well, speaking of Donald Trump, he did release a statement about the collapse of Silicon Valley Bank and the subsequent government bailout. Took to Truth Social, and this is Donald Trump. We're going to have a Great Depression far bigger and more powerful than that of 1929. Banks are collapsing, and Donald Trump again talking about the largest and dumbest tax increase in the history of America. Joe Biden will go down as the Herbert Hoover of the modern age, of course, president during the stock market crash of 1929. That was President Trump's warning about the collapse of SVB, and it's shocking. Well, it's not shocking, actually. The Democrats are blaming him for that collapse. It's unbelievable. And the Biden administration's even taking heat from a lot of Democrats. I was kind of surprised about that. There's a story in the New York Post where President Biden was basically taking a lot of heat from Democrats, even though he's supposedly holding everybody accountable for it.
This will be interesting, too, Stefan, to see the market today. Obviously, it hasn't opened yet, but to see what happens. Does the market crumble a little bit today? Does it stay flat? Does it? I don't know, and our guys, I'm sure, will be talking about that this week on the podcast and maybe even on the radio show, but I can't imagine the market just staying flat. Personally,
again, it's shocking about America not learning its lessons from 2008. That's the big thing that I take from this, is that the United States of America is not, and the government, politicians, everybody, whoever you want to call it, they're not learning their lessons from what happened when the housing bubble burst in 2008. And it's happening over and over and over again. Speaking of politics, the race for the White House, we talked about President Trump. A lot of those candidates are heading to Iowa. Vivek Ramaswamy, President Trump, Nikki Haley, Ron DeSantis. I mean, they are all in on traveling to the state of Iowa when it comes to the race for the White House in 2024. It's heating up right now, and we're talking, we're about 11 months away from the first primaries in New Hampshire and Iowa.
I do want to save some of that for after our first little break here, because I do think it's going to be very interesting. And I was talking to some family about this on Saturday, too. But even the Democratic side, Stefan, is very interesting to me, because obviously it seems, I shouldn't say obviously, it seems, based on comments by his wife, by himself, by his staff, that Joe Biden will run again. There's been rumblings of a Robert Kennedy running against him. I have to imagine, even though Joe Biden is the president of the United States today in 2023 and will potentially be running for re-election, the left understands that they need potentially a better option. I don't think...
Oh, it's Joe Biden.
I know that. I agree with you, but I do think that smart politicians on the left got to be like, wait a minute. This is not our best foot forward, right? I mean,
look, but I think some Republicans are saying the same exact thing on our side of the aisle. Like, we're basically going to have a repeat of 2020 if potentially Donald Trump is the nominee. But at least the Republicans have a much more wide open field of candidates who are running in the primary. Donald Trump, Vivek Ramaswamy, Ron DeSantis, Nikki Haley, Tim Scott now is sticking his toe in the water. South Carolina senator, he's visiting there and having a roundtable there. At least on the Republican side of the aisle, voters are going to have a wide range of choices of who the nominee is going to be.
I'm going to go to a quick break, and then I'm going to come back to that conversation, Stefan. You are currently listening to a recording of our new morning show, Morning Mics, on the Financial Guys Media Network and Twitter. This can be found every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. on the Financial Guys website, financialguysmedia.com, and on live on our Twitter. Stefan, so I want to go back to that, because I do agree with what you're saying with the left, with the right, excuse me, on you know, maybe not agreeing or wanting Trump again. However, I think there's a big difference, and I'm not saying this because I voted for Trump and because I like Trump, but one of those two people, Biden, has cognitive decline, and there's no doubt about that, right? And that's not trying to be funny. That's just pointing out the obvious. The other has a strong base of voters that understand who he is, what he believes in, and love the man for what he is. I don't really know that anybody actually loves Biden on the left, right? I think he's kind of a placeholder guy that they can say, it's not Trump. There's not actual following of Joe Biden.
Yeah, they're stuck with him. It's like, yeah. Well, he's the only guy in the ballot. They're right. Stuck with him.
They're stuck with him, right? And that's, and I'm, again, not saying that because I don't like Joe Biden, not saying that because I'm a Trump voter. I'm just making a point. I think there's a very big difference between those two sides. And again, the biggest thing is that Joe Biden doesn't look like he can actually do the job that he's supposed to be doing right now in front of a microphone. Probably in front of his peers, in front of world leaders. I mean, it's scary to think that guy's running our country.
Well, I go back to the Pennsylvania United States Senate debate between Dr. Oz and John Fetterman. And God bless John Fetterman. I actually give him a lot of credit. Struggling with mental illness, it's a very serious disease. And he was cognizant enough to say, I need help. Wasn't embarrassed about it. Didn't try to hide it. God bless him and certainly wish him all the best. When it comes to the debates, though, with Dr. Oz and John Fetterman, it was an absolute train wreck following his stroke.
Yep.
He could not listen or even process questions, had to read it from a board and then give responses. Like, people just felt so bad for him. I actually felt bad for him when it comes to his family putting him out on that stage, and he never should have been there. John Fetterman never should be a United States senator. He should have focused on his health, recovered, recuperated, and now he's at a point where he had to check himself into Walter Reed because of potentially self-harm. How this relates to Joe Biden, I think the more time progresses, the more time that he's going to be on a presidential debate stage with Vivek Ramaswamy, Donald Trump, DeSantis, Nikki Haley, whoever that's going to be, there's going to be a point where President Biden may not remember his own name.
Right.
How to string a sentence or two together. And yet, what happened with Dr. Oz and John Fetterman? Even after his disastrous debate, where it was clear he was not there mentally, he was not there in any way, shape, or form, he still won.
Right.
An election for the United States Senate.
Yep.
And I think you're going to see that in the presidential debates, again, between Joe Biden, whoever the Republican nominee is. Even if Joe Biden goes up there and forgets his name, you're still going to have a massive amount of Democrats that say, I don't care. I'm still filling in the bubble or pulling the lever for him.
Yeah, and I think, you know, again, I hope our country can get this figured out and find, you know, politicians that people want to vote for. I think your John Fetterman example, Fetterman almost on the campaign trail, Stefan, was worse than Joe Biden was.
100%.
And again, that's not saying a lot because Joe Biden was atrocious. He hid in his basement, literally, on his campaign trail. But the John Fetterman campaign, the fact that people actually voted for him, and again, forget the politics for a second. I'm not saying this because I'm a conservative voter. The man had to read off a computer for questions. The man couldn't. He was saying the Eagles are better than the Eagles when talking about the Philadelphia Eagles. I mean, it's scary that people pulled the lever for that guy and didn't think twice, by the way. Didn't think maybe he might not be able to do any, you know, meetings. Maybe he wouldn't be able to fill his role after 6 months or what. I mean, what was it, 3 months? And he hasn't been back at the office? And I say that back at the office, like, in he hasn't been running for government?
Well, yeah. Yep. I mean, that's the scary part, though. Again, the debate, and that's why we talk about John Fetterman when it comes to his disastrous debate performances against Dr. Oz. I mean, it was absolutely brutal. He should have been home. He should have been in a nursing home or a rehab center taking care of his health following a debilitating stroke. But what happened? They rushed him out on the debate stage, and the guy just could not string two sentences together. You're going to see the same exact thing happening with President Biden. No matter who he's on that debate stage with, it's going to be the same exact scenario, that there is a core constituency of Democrats who are still going to pull the lever and vote for him. And no different than here in Erie County. In Erie County, we're a 2-to-1 Democratic community. And we always say, no matter what, you get a 40% built-in base to vote for a Democrat.
So real quickly, I do want to go to the live line. We have Mike Lomas. Everybody knows Mike Lomas, founder of the Financial Guys, to talk about the banking collapses that we're seeing here left, right, and center. Mike, are you with us?
I am.
Good morning.
Hi, guys.
So tell us a little bit about your thoughts on what you think is going on here. Obviously, you saw the Silicon Valley Bank collapse, we'll call it, but now there's a bailout that was given for part of it. So tell us your thoughts about first the banking collapse and what you think the market's going to do today.
Well, the banking collapse was a direct result of basically Fed policy being mismanaged for a long time and a bank that was mismanaged. So what happened was they have a lot of Silicon Valley, right? A lot of aggressive tech firms. They didn't do so hot last year and they needed capital. And so that's usually not a big deal. Go back to the bank, they grab the capital. The banks have invested the money, quote, conservatively. The problem is this bank had a decent amount of money in long-term bonds. And what happens with interest rates is when interest rates go up, bond prices go down. So to keep it simple, you guys bought a 30-year bond 3 years ago, and it was paying you 1.5%. And now I can go out and buy that same bond paying me 5%. You've got to give me a huge premium or a discount, I should say, to be able to buy your bond in the open market. And so they were forced to sell bonds to give these people their money back. And you know, like in Independent Solutions, you know, we knew interest rates were low, right? It didn't take a rocket scientist to say that interest rates were probably going to go up before they go down. So we were overweighted and have been over the last 5 years in short-term bonds. And, you know, the bank just got caught up and saying, well, these interest rates are going to be here forever. And so it was a mismanagement of what they did. And, of course, what happened is the minute some of the investors out there, these venture capital firms found out, wait a minute, look at these tech firms need money. They're needing to sell long-term bonds at a loss. If this keeps going, we're going to have trouble. And, of course, the minute they say, if this keeps going, then the rest of the investors at the bank say, wait a minute, I want my money out. I do think the government should step in and give the investors, the depositors, not the investors of the bank, not the people that work at the bank, not the top executives at the bank, but the depositors their money back, because that could cause real chaos if you don't do that. We've done that before in the 90s where we've come into banks and said it happened. By the way, it happens, you know, I don't want to say often because this is a big bank, but small banks get caught up in stuff like this all the time every year. But the way the Fed all of a sudden aggressively increased interest rates is what caught him by surprise.
Mike, Stefan here. What else about when you talk about bank mismanagement? And it's a lot more complicated than just to say, okay, it's this one factor of the Fed. It's one factor of wokeism. But, I mean, they had no one in charge of risk assessment for 9 months, but they were busy organizing month-long pride campaigns, lesbian visibility days, $5 billion in so-called ESG investments. I mean, were they not asleep at the switch when it comes to their own internal controls?
1,000%. And on top of that, you know, okay, you're Silicon Valley Bank. We get it. You know, there's a lot of tech industry there. But you've got to start diversifying yourself. And to your point, instead of, you know, worrying about some kind of a parade, you really should be understanding the risks internally inside your bank. And that's why not one penny should be going towards any of these top executives. Not one penny should be going to any of the shareholders of the bank. And that stinks. You know, nobody wants to see shareholders lose money or investors lose money. But, you know, when it's mismanagement, when some of this stuff could have been avoided, i.e. diversification, and you've got a bank that big, you can diversify. You can start going outside of Silicon Valley. They chose not to do that, and so it bit them in the butt. But, yeah, to your point, I mean, look, you know, there's one thing when you own a bank that you have to focus on, and that's risk, right? I mean, you don't always have to, I don't say always, and you know, there's different types of business models out there where you can afford to say, all right, I'm going to be a little more growth oriented over here and growth oriented over there. You can't do that with a bank. You're taking people's deposits, and the thing is, it's called liquidity. They want their money back when they want their money back, right? We tell our clients all the time, if you want money liquid, conservative, that you can grab, don't put it in your retirement account, right? And even our models will say, hey, look, we've got more conservative models. But if you think you're going to use this money, 3 months from now to put a down payment down on a house or a car, then you need to take it to the bank where it's safe and you can get it back liquid without any types of ups and downs and fluctuations. And so knowing that, the number one department in a bank is risk. Number two should be marketing. You got to grow the bank and you got to grow the company. Number one is risk and risk mitigation. And they didn't do that. They failed in all different types of another failure in the you know, California's book, I guess you'd say.
Well, so take us through for people who are not familiar with what happened over the weekend. Because I know the Biden administration released parameters of this so-called recovery, bailout, whatever you want to call it when it comes to the folks making the deposits, but not upper management. So for folks who are not familiar with what happened over the weekend, what exactly is the parameters or the terms of this so-called bailout for Silicon Valley Bank?
Yeah, from what I understand, they're going to let the depositors get their money back. And that is, and even the Treasury Department has said, now this could have changed. I'm in my car on my way into the office. So, you know, you don't know what you don't know. But my understanding over the weekend is that they're just going to let the depositors get their money back, which I believe they should, because if they don't, you're going to have a run on a lot of other different banks, specifically bigger dollar amounts, right? So, you know, you're insured up to $250,000. Well, what if somebody has $300,000 because it's a business account? My understanding is the government's going to come in and let them get their money back. And then what I would bet will happen is the government's going to, in this case, the Biden administration, because Democrats are good at this, they're going to strong arm somebody else into taking over those assets. And, you know, they're going to say it's not going to cost the taxpayers anything, but that's a bunch of garbage because it will. There's nobody, you know, M&T Bank, as an example, isn't just going to run in and say, hey, give me all the crappy assets from this bank, right? So it's going to be a mess. It's going to be piecemealed out. And my guess is there's going to be some favors done for some banks, so they come in and take it over and sort of streamline the process. So you just got to hope that, you know, that most banks have learned from the 2008-2009 crisis and have diversified properly. And I think there is. You know, if you look back at 2008-2009, there's a lot of good banks like M&T Bank that made it through that. And that was a much bigger deal, in my opinion, than this. I don't think there's too many banks that have been, I hate to say the word dumb, but dumb enough to go out and not worry about the risk department and over-concentrate in long-term bonds with interest rates being at historic lows. So,
but did the banks, did America, did the government learn lessons from 2008 when, you know, and again, I'm oversimplifying it a little bit, but basically, okay, let's have some feel-good banking, not focus on shareholders, not focus on making a profit of, sure, let's, you know, because someone wants to buy and live in a house who makes 50 grand a year, sure, let's force the banks to give them $1 million mortgage. And then lo and behold, the collapse took place. I mean, were there lessons learned from 2008 that just did not apply today?
Yes to this bank, but I will say if I was a betting person, and I'm not a betting person, but I will say I think there's going to be some good deals on some good banks. There's a lot of banks out there that I think did learn from this. And the rules are different. So now if you're going to buy a house, you know, you got to put 20% down. Yes, sir. They're starting to drift back in some of these programs that, you know, got us in trouble the first time. But they're also limiting the amount of money you can take out, meaning that prior to 2009, you could borrow as much money, as many houses as you wanted. So Stefan's got zero money. You can buy 300 homes and there's no limit to that. I actually think they went the other way too much, which is now you can only buy 5 homes on credit on a mortgage. It doesn't matter if you have $1 billion and you want to borrow money for 10 homes for $100,000 each, you can't do it. So there has been some safety nets put in place, I guess you'd say, to try to avoid some of that. And I do think a big chunk of the banks have sort of responded. Again, to your point, though, there's always going to be losers and folks that don't get it, and here we are again, you know. So I guess the question is, though, are we going to see something like we did in 2008, 2009, where we had a financial crisis, where the, you know, banking sector went down by 80 or 90% in many cases? I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I think there's going to be a good opportunity to sort of look through some of the banks that don't get involved in some of the crap that you're talking about, and you try to buy them at a discount as this thing plays itself out.
Mike, one quick non-stock market banking-related question. I know you're probably a big Oscars fanatic, watching the Oscars last night.
Were you up late last night?
I don't have any idea who won or lost.
Well, I'm going to tell you one of the people who won, Mike. NPR put out a tweet last night that said, Michelle Yeoh wins the Oscar for Best Actress, making history as the first person who identifies as Asian to win the award. Your thoughts?
Ah, nice. Well, I just want to, I think we need to start thinking this through and just start really, we need to benefit from this, right? Not just the liberals, but I think we really need to, I got to figure out how I can identify as a Seneca Nation Indian so I can start my casino. And I'm serious. I mean, why? Let's start playing their game. If that's what they want, that's what we should do. Because it's just ridiculous, right? I mean, what, Joe Biden, gave somebody Woman of the Year award or Woman of the Month the other day, and she's actually got a penis. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Well, here's my question, Mike. Can we identify as poor to get funding for our businesses?
Right.
Can we do that?
Right. Well, that's what we need to start doing. I mean, we need to start doing some of that and playing into their own game, right? Because it's so ludicrous. It's just crazy at this point. And they're out of their minds. They're mentally ill. And the mainstream media is playing into it. The Biden administration is playing into it and pandering to it. And I think at some point, you know, it needs to backfire on them for them to learn their lesson. So,
well, I and this is Stefan again. I do want to go back to the markets today. How do you think the market is going to react to what the government did in the so-called bailout of Silicon Valley Bank?
Well, it's mixed. You never, you know, asking what the market's going to do today is a lot like asking what the weather's going to do 3 weeks from now, right? But, you know, that being said, the futures were up quite a bit last night, and now approaching the opening, they were even, which means that the markets, you know, like responded positively overnight to what was going on, and then as things played itself out, you know, the markets that we're not exactly sure. I think it's going to take time to sort of feel this thing through. What the markets are going to do is they're going to wait and see if there's additional risk out there. Okay, is this two banks? Is it three banks? Or is it 50 banks, right? And, you know, and I think, you know, if we can see that it's not going to be 50 banks, then the market will react positively to it. So, and you know, and I think you're going to see some kind of stabilization in it. I'd be surprised if you see some kind of a quote big rally out of this, because it's not good news, right? Good news is, you know, the banking sector's earnings were record, you know, numbers and expanding, and you know, that's not it. We're really basically now looking for, it's crazy, the markets will look for positive news at certain times, and it will grow on positive news. And then when we go into the Fed increasing interest rates to try to slow down the economy, the market will sort of, hopefully it will react to negative news. So it sounds weird. The market really lately has wanted the economy to slow down. So we want crappier job numbers, and the market would respond positively. If we get good job numbers, the market responds negatively. It doesn't make much sense. At some point, it'll switch and it'll go back to earning, which the stock market will always do that. That's why I say, if you're a really smart investor, you know, the Warren Buffetts of the world, they're going to look for opportunities out there. They might not necessarily invest today, but they're going to start to put a wish list together of banks that have done really well, that haven't gotten involved in all this garbage, that might be down just because the banking sector's down. And at some point, whether it's today or 3 months from now, they're going to take a position in that at a lower price. And that's what we want to do: buy low, sell high.
All right. Mike Lomas of the Financial Guys, thanks for joining us, Mike.
All right, guys. Have a great day. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Bye.
All righty, we're going to go to a quick break, Stefan. We'll come back with a few more things in the last half hour here. Folks, if you want more Financial Guys, tune into this show Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Also, our podcast network. Stefan and I do a podcast on Tuesdays, Mike and Glenn on Wednesdays, and Mike Hayflick on Thursdays. Mike Havlick and I should say, on Thursdays. All of this can be found on financialguysmedia.com. If you want to text us, 716-817-0716. If you want us to talk about certain things or maybe interview certain people, send a message to our text line and we can see what we can do. Follow us on social media, at FinGuys on Twitter, at Financial Guys on Instagram, at The Financial Guys Facebook. This is the place where money meets politics. Again, financialguysmedia.com. Stefan, we're going to be taking a trip in July to Florida to go to another Turning Point conference because last year's was so much fun.
Yeah, that was interesting to say the least. And I think it's where is it going to be in Florida again?
At Palm Beach this year.
Palm Beach this year. Yeah. Hey, I want to go back to that tweet from NPR.
Oh, yes.
Because I think we can talk about wokeism. Can you actually introduce it and say what they actually said? This National Public Radio on the Twitter machine talking about the Oscars last night.
Yes. And this actually was tweeted by a local Buffalo attorney, Matthew Colkin, who said, identifies as Asian with a question mark. I have to find this tweet now. Sorry, Stefan. Hold on. I got off.
There
we go. Michelle Yao. Breaking. Michelle Yao wins the Oscar for Best Actress, making history as the first person who identifies as Asian to win the award.
Who identifies as Asian?
Here's the ridiculous part.
She's Asian.
She's Asian. That's the most ridiculous part. She actually is Asian.
She's an Asian woman.
I don't know. And again, this is where, you know, I'm going to go back to the Michael Knowles speech at UB. There is something seriously wrong with these people, Stefan. I don't know how else to say it, but there is something actually wrong with these people. The fact that they need to virtue signal in every aspect of life, tweeting about, and by the way, good for Michelle Yao. Congratulations for her. That's great. But then you embarrass her, and you embarrass the Oscars, and you embarrass Hollywood all in one tweet, and you embarrass the liberal media all in one tweet.
What if she identified as black last night?
As Mike Loma said, maybe we need to start doing the same things.
But what if she did? What if she all of a sudden, just out of nowhere, said, I'm going to identify as black? Would NPR and all other media say a black woman won an Oscar for Best Actress? I bet you they would.
I bet you they would.
If she went on stage and said, tonight I identify as an African-American male, trans.
Yeah.
Would NPR say, hey, the first black trans non-Asian won an Oscar?
Non-binary. Don't forget that one. No, I know. I mean, these people are quite frankly nuts. I mean, I'm just going to say it. They're nuts. They cannot. I mean, I was saying this yesterday again to a family member. I actually can't comprehend it all. That's the crazy part. All of these genders and identifying as this and that. I said this was my argument yesterday. We expect little children to be able to keep track of this stuff. 30-year-old Mike can't figure it out. And we think a 5-year-old's going to?
Well, it's, you know, we talk about wokeism, and that goes into the transition of a lot of the different issues in this wokeism and this woke culture.
Sorry to cut you off. Trending right now. Go woke, go broke is trending on Twitter.
Well, and again, it goes back to Silicon Valley Bank, where they're bragging about spending $5 billion on all of these woke environmental societal issues, and they don't have a risk assessment officer for 9 months. And lo and behold, I'm shocked that the bank went belly up. You know, we're going from that when it comes to, you know, the Oscars, NPR putting out a tweet saying an clearly Asian actress identifies as being Asian. But Gavin Newsom, we're turning our attention to California now.
Yay.
He's pushing for billions of dollars in reparation payments, even though the state is on a fiscal cliff and they're facing massive, massive problems fiscally in the state of California. A state task force proposing giving $360,000 per person because of slavery, even though the 1.8 million black Californians, if they had an ancestor enslaved in the United States, the program would cost $640 billion, with a B, $640 billion, even though slavery was never legal in California.
This is how the Democrats want to spend your money.
And they're facing, by the way, a projected budget deficit of $22.5 billion for the fiscal year. So a $22.5 billion deficit for the fiscal year, and the state of California is going to spend $640 billion dollars on reparations for 1.8 million black Californians.
Instead of building a culture of going to work, being successful. Because by the way, folks, just so you understand reparations, that doesn't mean your life is fixed. Okay? Ask people who have won the lottery before. That doesn't fix their life, right? Ask people who have made a stock transaction where they've made $500,000. That doesn't fix your life. Am I wrong on that? I mean, fixing poverty or bringing reparations doesn't mean just giving people and handing them money. It's not how it works, right? Successful people, and again, I don't mean bajillionaires, people that are able to retire at 60 or 65 did not just get an influx of cash and sat on it. They've worked their asses off. Point blank, they've worked their asses off. And that, what we're doing here with giving $640 billion away, one, it's a slap in the face to people like us, number one, right? I don't live in California, but I'm sure New York will follow right after. It's a slap in the face to people like us who actually go to work, who do the right thing, who care about people, who care about their community. It's a slap in the face to us, but on top of that, it's not going to work. It's not going to work.
Well, and also, too, we transition from that into St. Louis now. Fox News, there's a St. Louis homicide detective. Their district attorney in that area, St. Louis, was backed by George Soros. So it's a George Soros-backed district attorney. So basically, this DA had made, this is no exaggeration, had like a blacklist, basically, of police officers who could not enforce laws and crimes that were on the books. So that St. Louis Police Department, they lost an average of 119 officers starting in 2017 when this DA took over. And this St. Louis homicide detective basically is telling Fox News he literally sat in a cubicle and did no police work. Did no police work. The officer's name is Roger Murphy. He retired in 2021, retired 2 years after he said he was put on an exclusion list. An exclusion list. So to the point where he had to have other police officers file paperwork for him because he could not actually do his job and enforce the law.
This is America in 2023. And this is what they want, right? This is exactly what they want. We are crumbling underneath ourselves. You know, you talk about Soros-backed anything in our country.
And Kimberly Gardner was the district attorney that he was referring to.
Of course. Of course you are. How does – can I ask you a question because I don't actually know this answer. Obviously, it's money, but why do people let George Soros run our country like that? Is it just money? Is that all
it is? He's got money. I mean, look, George Soros not only donates to – these woke left-wing radical district attorneys, but even look at media. I know Michael Caputo had started a competing Hispanic television radio network in Florida that wants to compete with George Soros, who went in and specifically bought. Now, Hispanic media in Florida tends to be right-leaning. A lot of them, you know, many, many years ago were basically created to be a voice, an anti-Castro voice. So a lot of the traditional Hispanic media in Florida, very right wing, very anti-communist, anti-Fidel Castro. Soros went in and bought up all of these media companies, yep. These traditional Hispanic media companies. And they are no longer conservative. They're left-leaning. So Michael Caputo and many other investors started, I believe it's One Americano or Americano News, to be the last bastion of conservative voices in Florida. And that's what a person like George Soros is doing. He's using his billions of dollars to put in woke DAs, woke politicians, and even control the media. And that's how he's manipulating the United States of America.
It's pretty darn sad. And, you know, again, these people don't like America. They don't want America to be free as it was. And we got to hope people start to wake up. And I want to go to Gen Z in 1 second, Stefan, before I'm just going to do a quick commercial here. Again, folks, you need us throughout the week. One stop financial shop here at the Financial Guys. Financial planning, wealth management, any insurances you may need, life insurance, health insurance, Medicare, home and auto, business insurance. We have a lot of certified agents here at the Financial Guys, AHIP certified Medicare reps, certified Social Security planners, certified college planning specialists. certifications, knowing exactly what they're doing. They have experience in their trade, and they are very educated on what they do. All of that here at the Financial Guys, a one-stop financial shop. 833-FIN-GUYS if you need us throughout the week. If you want to go to our website, thefinancialguys.com. Stefan, I want to go to Gen Z real quick because I saw a tweet here, and I'm saying this because this is the downfall of America again. That's kind of the theme today of our show. Where is it? So Henry Sisson, I'm sure you've heard, or Harry, excuse me, Harry Sisson, I'm sure you've heard of him on, he's a Gen Zer that's very well known on Twitter. The attacks on Pete Buttigieg from Mike Pence and the Republicans are disgusting. When I met with him at the White House, he was kind, humble, intelligent, and welcoming. Gen Z stands with him. So, for all those out there, that now is telling us who is good at their job. If they are nice, humble, intelligent, welcoming, that means they are very good at their job. That's Gen Z's barometer of success right there, being nice, humble, and intelligent.
Oh, kind of like Silicon Valley Bank spending $5 billion on gay pride parades and trans awareness and, not taking care of their shareholders. You know, we watch a ton of kids' videos. I mean, YouTube, the Twitter machine, you name it. I mean, we got young kids. And there is a search engine, an ad for a search engine that always pops up, and the CEO says, hey, we're a sustainable search engine, and we're investing our money into planting trees and caring for the environment. It's like, I don't care that you do that. If I use your search engine, be the best search engine possible.
Right.
If I'm putting my money into a bank, be the best bank possible. I don't care about your woke policies. Same thing with Pete Buttigieg. You know what? That may be true. He may be the nicest guy in the world.
Sure.
I never met the guy, but he may be kind, humble, and all those things. But how did he handle the East Palestine train derailment?
Right.
How is he actually fixing our infrastructure? You know what? He's not. You know what I care more about Pete Buttigieg is that after the East Palestine train derailment, a controlled explosion and burn sending toxic chemicals into the air, his big concern was that there were too many white construction workers in America. That's what I care about. Can he do his job?
Yep.
What prepared him of being mayor of South Bend, Indiana, to manage the air, lands, the entire infrastructure of the United States of America? That's what I care about.
And that's what we should care about. As Americans, we should want the best of the best. Stefan, anything we buy, right? Do you go to the worst supermarket or the best one that you can find, generally? You go to the one that you know you can afford, but also you know you're going to get the best product at, right? If you are a sports fan, do you want to watch a crappy team or do you want to watch the best team, right? Nobody strives to be mediocre in sports. The Bills don't strive. I know we went through 20-year drought. I get it. But they weren't striving every year coming to training camp. As long as we finish 8-8, all will be well. No, it doesn't work that way.
Right.
Right? We want to be the best, whether it's sports, politics, business, whatever. This idea that mediocrity or being nice and generous, that's the way to live. Choose love, Stefan. That'll fix everything. BS. It doesn't work.
Well, it's one of those things, too, where, you know, the talk of quotas and equal opportunity in some very serious jobs and very serious occupations. You know, again, the argument goes to, if you're sitting on an airplane, do you hope that the pilot, you know what, he went through a quota training program, or he's diverse, or he's a trans pilot? No, I don't care if the pilot is white, black, asexual, bisexual, trisexual, who cares? I want to be the best pilot on earth because, you know what, I want to fly in the air safely and I want to land safely and see my family again. Police officers, do you care about an orientation of an officer, a color of an officer, any of these so-called woke issues pertaining to someone? No, I want the best damn police officer or someone in emergency personnel or driving an ambulance. I want the best person possible responding to my emergency. But the Biden administration wants to make sure that we hire based on all of these woke-isms and all of these woke quotas and these feel-good policies where it just goes against the grain of everything America stands for.
And how about, again, we structure our country where it doesn't matter what color you are or gender you are or whatever you are, you work hard and you get promoted and you get better jobs or you get different jobs or whatever you want to do, how about that? How about we base it on success, because people of all backgrounds and genders and nationalities and colors are all fighting for the best jobs and we're giving them to the best candidate, right? How about we go back to that? Because that will work and you will get people out of the streets. You will get people out of poverty. You will get people that actually care about their communities and to do the right thing. It doesn't seem that hard to me. Stop pandering to people that don't like our country and that don't want to work.
I mean, pandering to the point of this woke culture, and wokeism is a cancer. It's an absolute cancer and scourge on our culture, our politics, our government. Again, we go back to that NPR tweet.
Yep.
This Asian actress wins the best Oscar, making her the first person who identifies as Asian to win the award. Either you're Asian or you're not.
Yep.
You're white or you're not. You're male or female. If you're born with a penis, you're a guy. You're born with a vagina, you're a woman. It's that simple. It is very, pardon the pun, black and white. We get this canceled culture, this woke culture in America. Again, where I keep going back to Silicon Valley Bank, where they had no risk assessment officer. They are obsessed with woke culture, and yet where did it lead them? It led them to be belly up.
Sorry, I'm laughing at myself here. Speaking of being woke with the Oscars, the woman who won, Michelle Yeoh, who identifies as Asian, says, "Dreams do come true, and ladies, don't let anybody tell you that you're ever past your prime." Taking a direct shot at Don Lemon. Poor guy can't catch a break.
Yeah. Oh, is that over him blasting Nikki Haley?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Nikki Haley being past her prime. Unbelievable. Yeah, I did not watch the Oscars,
no.
But you're the one that alerted me to this tweet from NPR, which is just shocking, appalling, and it's insulting.
Yeah.
But you know what? And what's even more insulting is that our tax dollars support NPR. It pays and keeps them on the air, to say the least.
Yeah, that's pretty depressing. That's definitely depressing that's who is we're paying, you know, we're paying for a lot of things that we shouldn't be paying for. That is definitely at the one of the top. By the way, I don't know if you saw this yesterday, the thousands of people going over the El Paso border or the border at El Paso.
Yeah, what happened with that?
They just a caravan of thousands of people just got right onto it. Looks like a bridge and just walked, trying to walk right over.
And were they successful? What happened?
I don't know that actually.
Oh, Benny Johnson is the one that's.
Yeah, I don't know because it was last night that this happened.
And speaking of the border, let's talk in our last few minutes, because you're going to hear this on our podcast this week. How it came about that you were on OANN.
Yeah, so I, for those of you that know, I obviously have a very sad and unique family story. I lost two brothers to one to heroin use and one to crack cocaine use. Sadly, they both committed suicide back in 2009 and 2013. So not fentanyl related, but substance abuse and drug related. And you'd have to imagine, considering 90 something percent of the drugs come to that southern border, that's where they came from. I've interviewed before a OANN host, One America News Network host, on our radio show. So I actually joined her live on her weekend segment yesterday and kind of talked about my story and what some of my solutions would be, Stefan. I think we're going to talk about this again on the podcast, but some of my solutions are very simple. Shut the damn border is one of them. Prosecute and you know, criminalize drug dealers. Stop making excuses for them. Stop. We'll let them out this time because they'll learn their lesson. They don't. Drug dealers are murderers. And I know that firsthand in my family because I've had family that dealt drugs. Drugs kill people, and you're giving those people those drugs. Now, I do hear a lot this argument that, well, just don't take drugs. For some people, it's not as easy, right? And that's something that took me a long time to understand. I always thought in my brain, like, how could one shoot heroin? What the hell is wrong with them? What, there's something, I mean, they have to be an idiot. Well, some people don't have a way to handle urges and vices, and they do it once. And I'll tell you, just based on my experience, once you do these drugs, there's like a less than a percent chance you're going to come back from it.
Yeah, it alters your brain, does it not?
It alters your brain. The feeling is just so great that you want it again, and then you want it again. I agree with people. Drug dealers or drug users shouldn't use drugs, but it's easier said than done, especially when Some people have mental health issues, and this is their vice to say, I get out of it. I can just live in this world that's like it's like a fake world, but they live in it while they're high. And I don't know that people really truly understand that the way that someone like me would just by watching it. And we need to do something about it.
And the Conservative Network brought you on to talk about, and because you mentioned border security.
Yep.
That there is a wide open border and fentanyl flows freely across America thanks to the Biden administration.
Yep.
And that was the point and purpose of it, correct?
Yeah, it was to go on and talk a little bit about my story, but then also the border, you know, Mexico telling our citizens last week that the Mexican president that the drug problem is our problem. That's our fault here in America is what the Mexican president said. So that was one thing she asked me about. But it was absolutely to talk about this border and to see and, you know, to explain this is our problem. Right. And whether the argument we've gotten more drugs off the streets since the Biden administration because we've you know, stopped more drugs coming across. Well, yeah, you've stopped a higher number. But because the number coming over is far higher. Right. You're going to get more when 10 times the amount's coming over. I would hope that you're confiscating more at the border when 10 times the amount is coming over, right? So I think people are – I have this illusion that Biden's doing a great job down there because they listen to NPR, as you said. They listen to CNN. It's not. Listen to our podcast when we talk to Sheriff Mark Daniels. It's worse than it's ever been. More drugs are coming across than they ever have. And, Stefan, you mentioned fentanyl. What's scary about fentanyl is – with other drugs like heroin, crack, just regular cocaine, stuff like that, you could get a bad dose, an overdose, sure. But most of the time, you just become an addict for a long time. With fentanyl, these kids may not know it's in there, and you got one shot, you're dead. Right. You take one snort, and you're dead. You smell it, and you're dead. There was a story of a cop at the border smelled fentanyl. It was in a dust form, and they had to revive her with Narcan, a cop. I mean, that's what people understand. Fentanyl is not, you know, the 90s heroin and the 2000s crack or whatever we want to call it. It's not that. It's deadly the minute you smell it, touch it, taste it.
Yeah, it's so sad and tragic. And where can people find that interview with you?
Yes, I have it on my Twitter.
Oh, the Twitter machine?
Mine's on my Twitter. The financial guys are going to post it as well. It'll be on our podcast. We're going to play the five-minute interview on our podcast. And then hopefully we do some more of these with different outlets because I think it's important for people to hear people that have actually seen it live. You know, right. I think that's important. So,
well, thank you for sharing that. And yep. You're certainly going to have a lot more of that on our podcast coming up.
Any last thoughts in the last 3 minutes here?
I think we should do a damn good job plugging everything that you guys do with the financial guys, especially now in light of what's happening at Silicon Valley Bank. The fact that people who and businesses, small businesses, people have their money invested in this bank and all of a sudden they literally lock their doors on Friday. So Mike Lomas was on before live talking about the importance of seeing financial planners like the financial guys to make sure that your money is safe and secure depending on your short and your long-term goals. If you need liquid cash right away, they'll advise you one way. If you're planning for, you know, to pay your kids' college or pay for retirement, they'll plan you that way. So it's really important, no matter what your financial goals are, short-term, long-term, to invest and talk to someone like the financial guys.
We are a one-stop financial shop. Don't forget financial planning, wealth management, any insurances that you can think of, we probably do them here. Certified Medicare agents, certified Social Security planners, certified college planning strategists. Real quick, too, we also do seminars here at the office and online. Check thefinancialguys.com for any of those. They will be listed in the events page. We have plenty of seminars coming up. We also have market updates. Today would be a good day for a market update based on what you just said there, too, Stefan. You need us throughout the week, 833-FIN-GUYS. Any media-related stuff, appearances on national shows, this show, podcasts, or some of our content we do at events like Turning Point USA, financialguysmedia.com for all that. Follow us on Twitter at FinGuys. Follow us on Instagram at FinancialGuys and at Facebook at The Financial Guys. God, that's a mouthful. This is the place where money meets politics. We will see you again Wednesday at 8 a.m.